Hey, welcome back to the Cities Reimagined podcast. I hope you had a good start into the year. If you're listening right away in the early days of January 2025, I'm your voice of choice, Yannis Rigler, and this is Reimagining Urban Education. Yeah, as the title suggests, today we dive into urban studies and education for making cities better places. Since I graduated from my master's in urban studies some 15 years ago, a lot has changed. Back then, it was an emerging field where people seemed to have trouble understanding what it was, urban studies. Is it sociology? Is it architecture? Is it economics? Is it all of that or none of that? Today, it is widely recognized as one key discipline in understanding cities, which combines all of these perspectives. If you're into urban studies or a related field in Europe, the chances are pretty high that you've heard of the Four Cities Master Program. As the name suggests, that two-year master program brings students across four cities, and that is Brussels, Vienna, Copenhagen, and Madrid, with numerous excursions to other European cities while you're traveling from one place to another. It is, a really life-changing experience, and I can tell you that from my own experience as I was part of the program in its early days, starting in 2009. What makes this program so special is not only the pain in the neck that you need to find housing and a proper accommodation every couple of months in a different city, but it is that you study at six universities and you get to know so many different urban contexts all across Europe. Now, some 15 years after I graduated from the program, Four Cities will come to an end in 2025, and I thought it would be the perfect moment to sit down with two people who helped bring this program to life from the very beginning. Yvonne Franz, who is a senior lecturer and researcher at the Department of Geography at the University of Vienna, and Stéphane Decorte, also from the Geography Department or Urban Studies wing of the Geography Department at the Freie Universität Brussels. So in the upcoming 60 minutes, we will talk about how urban studies has changed since the start of Four Cities, whether a program like Four Cities with its European perspective is still contemporary, and how the universities or the work at universities in general has changed. There are also so many stories and anecdotes, personal anecdotes of the two in this conversation, which you absolutely do not want to miss, whether you have been a Four Cities student yourself or not. There is a lot to uncover that's remained hidden over the last 15 to 20 years related to urban studies. So, make sure you listen to the whole episode. And I hope you really enjoy the show. Really appreciate that you're tuning in again. If you like what you hear, consider subscribing to Cities Reimagined on your favorite podcasting platform or follow us on Instagram. Like, rate the show, leave a comment, and tell your friends all about it. I also really love hearing from listeners, so feel free to send me an email at johannes@anthropocene.city. You can also find the contact in the show notes. Hi, Yvonne and Steph. It's good Hello. To have you on the Cities Reimagined podcast. How are you doing on this Friday morning?
Very good, yes. Having a cup of tea, so
yeah, waking up still or after holidays?
Well, been awake already for a while.
Same here, also, temperature is quite convenient today in Vienna. So, ready to have a nice conversation with you. Thanks for having us.
Very good. Yes. First of all, I was wondering, how did you actually end up building a career or all your interests around cities? What triggered that? How did you come about working on that topic?
It's a pure coincidence. But my interest about cities, I think it already started when I was a little child growing up in Bavaria and always pushing my parents hard to go somewhere else to see some, more variation of life. And my happiest moments are those when I could see something new, and this was mostly related to cities.
Nice. How about you, Steph?
Yes, for me, it's a bit similar. So I grew up in the suburbs of Brussels, and which I found great until I was 13, 14. I really got fed up with having to cycle very far to get to friends, and there was nothing going on because before you were just young kids playing around in gardens and so on, but that's, you know, if you turn a bit older, that's not what you want to do. So the moment I could, you know, I went in the city at the beginning, just, I mean, just living with my parents, but then moved into it. And so always had a fascination for, yeah, lots of stuff happening there was different, was unexpected. And I think traveling also, looking backwards, so I traveled a year after school before actually starting my studies. And if I look back on that travel, which was to the east, as far as India, I mainly went to cities. So I did all the big cities on the way. And once in a while, I went in the mountains or somewhere, but you always ended up in cities, which I found really intriguing. So
fast forward now, you both work at universities. Tell us a little bit about your role at the university, starting with you, Steph.
Yeah, so my role changed over the years. So I started out as a PhD student, then I did a lot of contract work, which was at the geography department of the Vrije Universiteit Brussel. I'm originally trained as a geographer. And then over the years, I got involved into interdisciplinary studies because there was a colleague who showed up at our department, which was very inspiring. And he actually was the one who set up the very first kind of international program where students traveled between cities. And so this is somewhere second half of the 1990s. I then got involved in one of these programs he was running, which was called POLIS, which was actually what you could call four cities on speed, because students went to four cities in one academic year and had to finish a thesis. So that was quite a challenge. So in the beginning, I was just helping out, doing the organization and did a little bit of teaching. And then came along the opportunity to actually start four cities. So I was involved right from the start together with colleagues from the VUB to set it up. And at the beginning, did nearly everything, doing the international organization, recruiting, teaching urban geography and urban analysis, which is a practice course in the first semester, going to all these cities and so on and so forth. And then I think after like a couple of years into the program, I actually switched to a polytechnic and I was out of the program for a couple of years, then came back. Meanwhile, also switched role in the university. So I'm not teaching anymore. I'm not doing research anymore, but I have an organizational managerial position. Four Cities also grew meanwhile, because we had this Erasmus Mundus done. We talk about this later, maybe. And it also grew in number of students. We started out with small students and then ended up with many more, also very different students compared to the beginning. And now I'm much more involved at the level of organization. So I have less interaction with students. It's much more trying to run the shop internationally and locally also.
Yvonne, you're still in touch with the students. But the last cohort just finished in Vienna, I believe. Tell us about your work and your involvement of Four Cities, because you're also one of the artifacts in Four Cities, I think.
Yeah, I hope my age is not visible already. But when I calculated this, I started with Four Cities in 2009. So that means I was 15 years younger. So you can tell that obviously also my role changed, similar to Steph's. When I started back then, I was just starting a so-called pre-doc position at the Department of Geography. So I graduated as a geographer at University of Vienna. And then I had the big chance to apply for a doctoral position with the privilege that it has been a faculty position, which means that you're not only involved in research for your PhD, but you do everything from teaching to administration. It's a privilege, but I didn't know that it also comes with a sweet pill called Four Cities, because Four Cities was on the table already. I think they had the second cohort already, and I jumped in without knowing anything about the program. And that was quite overwhelming. I still remember some sleepless nights or weekends where I just didn't know how to handle teaching, building up the program. Steph, you still remember in the first years, it was, let's be honest, it was quite a chaos. having 20 helpless students traveling from Brussels to Vienna, finding housing, getting to know the rules of each university, the written rules, but also the invisible rules. So this was on top of my own personal, let's say, change that I started a PhD and I had to find my way in academia as well. But I settled, and after a while, or suddenly, you become postdoc. And I also left for a while a program similar to Steph when I went to other institutions as a postdoc researcher and fellow in, for instance, in Stanford or other universities. And then I came back to University of Vienna as a postdoc researcher. And only recently, I became senior lecturer, which is, surprise, surprise, my first permanent position in academia. So it's a personal route, so to say, a personal journey with Four Cities. But I must say it's also very, say, rewarding that I can look back on this journey, also being right now in this first time ever situation that I can say that I have a permanent position now.
I mean, that's amazing. Both of you spent your whole career basically on Four Cities, or you build it. It is part of your life, right?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Takes over your life.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't do this, of course, if you're not interested and if you're not a little bit mad, I think. The good thing is, I remember at the beginning setting up Four Cities, you basically don't know what's coming. I mean, you know, get good ideas, you know, discuss about it. There was this opportunity to do it, and then you just go for it. In hindsight, if you look back, I think, wow, if I would have known, I probably would have done it again. But beforehand, you just don't know what it is, because as Ivona says, it's not just putting a program together, it's this whole practical side to it. And we also didn't know, will it work? What about the students? You know, because it is also a really heavy program for the students. I mean, you did it yourself. So you have to go to Four Cities, find your way around. What we thought, you know, was really a plus for the program, EI, you go to four different cities. It's not just four different cities. There are four different societies. There are four different, you know, practices, resistances, politics, etc., etc. Also comes with, you know, having to adapt each time. And students, I mean, this really is a challenging thing for students, which I think we sometimes really underestimated, and especially during the trajectory, I think it's really hard. It's really hard for some students. But then afterwards, yeah, it seems to be really rewarding, you know. If I look at the feedback we get from the alumni, etc., you know, when they look back a few years after the program, then it seems to be very rewarding. But and yes, yeah, takes over your life.
Yeah.
Isn't it, Ivona?
That's right, yeah. And if you just would count all the weekends and partially holidays that went from our side into the program as well as from student side, I think that is really, we sometimes speak about the Four Cities family, right? Although we don't really, well, it's not a family by DNA, of course, but I think that relates to Stefan's argument that we underestimated in the beginning also the let's say the challenges, but we also underestimated this potential for making not only friends but really making see my family members. Mm-hmm. we probably only receive 20% of the rumors going on in the alumni group. But if we look back at couples, for cities, children, friendships, on a professional perspective, also collaborations, we come back to this a bit later. But wherever we go from a professional point of view, we probably bump into a Four Cities alumni. We see people having a career who did the Four Cities program. We are super proud in many ways. And I think back then, again, 29, I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah, me either, you know.
I really like, Steph, what you said, that you have to be mad, somehow mad, to set this up. Because also, you know, in 2008, when it started, it was a different time.
Yeah.
In a way, also just in terms of technology. Now I can go around with my phone and have, you know, I can connect anytime with anybody around the world, basically, regardless in the country I'm in. But when I started in 2009, that was not the case. You know, at some point I got like a Nokia phone with which looked like a Blueberry. What was it? Not Blueberry. Blackberry?
You know, Blackberry.
million keys on it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I tell you a little bit about how I found out about Four Cities and how I started it. So it was I started geography first in the south of Austria in Klagenfurt, did my bachelor's there. And I thought about going to Vienna and doing my master's somehow related to urban planning on the geography department. And then one day I spent the night in Graz with a friend, because I was next to my studies, I was doing I was counting cars for money at a traffic planning company. And he was a geographer as well. Marco is his name. He might listen to this podcast as well. So,
shout out. Hello, Marcus.
Yeah, Marco. Yeah. And he told me, he found this master's on the University of Vienna, which seems interesting. It might be something for me. And then we checked it out in the evening. Just like, what? What is this? It is in four different cities? How is that even possible? How do you... That is impossible. But I was immediately intrigued and applied and got in, and really fast forward, that changed everything from that moment on. Just this experience from staying in four cities over 2 years, it gives you so much, you learn so much, not only on urbanism, which I, you know, perspectives I didn't even think of before starting it, being a geographer, but then also just, moving every other month and having to build up your network and your life in four different cities, it changes your life. At least it did with mine.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
what a surprise. And we are happy that this surprise in Graz, shout out to colleagues in Graz, happened. And you just said, you asked yourself, how is that possible? Just as a not so funny, but as a funny side anecdote, it was almost impossible. We made it possible. So just to give you an internal perspective of this program, probably everybody at the University of Vienna, so from controlling to student inscription office to the rectorate, knows about this program, not because it is so great also, of course, but mainly because we have been a pain in the to find solutions, because our biggest critique, sometimes we forget about this, is that the European Union had these bold ideas of joint curricula later with the Erasmus Mundus, but local administration is not ready for that, not even national administration. So It's really boring to talk about it, but I think, Steph, correct me if I'm wrong, probably half of our working time on the program we spend into finding solutions of regulations that are existing, but we have to overcome these regulations, otherwise Four Cities would not work out as it's running.
I think you can compare it to, you know, the saga of the visas, which most of you who were non-European actually went through, to repeat you. I mean, it's a bit better these days, although So how did it work? You had to get a visa to get to Belgium, then you had to wait for a police officer to come to your, you know, your student room. That gave you a paper from the municipality. You needed a paper to go to the embassy to get the next visa for Austria, then the same in Austria, then the same in for Copenhagen, and then the same for Spain, with nationalities like Macedonians, who are not officially recognized by Spain, so they can't get. I mean, just these kind of things you have just at the practical level of a university with rules and regulations and, yeah, but this diploma and this curriculum and, you know, yeah, but, you know, we want this marking. Oh, they do it differently over there. Yeah, it is. So a lot of energy goes in that, but it's worthwhile because when it works out, it works out. And again, you have to be a little bit mad and you have to also stand your ground, you know. And that works very well if you have a program which is coherent. You can say, look, this is really something worthwhile doing. Do you want to do it as a university? Yes or no? Because we several times had this situation. We really asked them, like, okay, fine, we stop it. But do you want not to have this anymore? And they go, oh, no, no, no. Yeah. And then they go out and look for solutions. So, yes, that's probably, I mean, now as I'm much more on the you know, organizational managerial side, yeah, that takes a lot of time. Which is sometimes frustrating, but very rewarding. And that's also a stuff we don't tell students too much because for them, in the end, you know, what do they care? Yeah. They just want to get a program and get along with it. But yes, there's a lot of things behind it. And as Yvonne rightly says, so there's a lot of talk about setting up international things, globalizing, et cetera, et cetera. But then if it comes down, sometimes there's a nitty-gritty conservatism and, you know, local rules of everything. And then in the end, the international is not so much thought international. It's very, very local with like many things.
Yeah. Because it's complicated also, right? You need to go over boundaries and find ways to do it. Yeah, congratulations to that you held on for that for... Yeah,
we're not the only two ones. I mean, there's a lot of others. So,
yeah.
You know, we speak in the name of about 15 people who do this on a daily basis. So,
but coming back a bit to the topic of urbanism as such. So the debates around cities in the last 15 years has very much developed and shifted also. It gained significant kind of strategic importance on European and global level. And I feel like it is also understood very differently than 15 years ago, whereas you had to argue more for this more integrated approach of bringing different disciplines and different perspectives together. Now it is broadly understood and dealt as such. How do you see these changes? What is your take on that? What's changed throughout the years in the bigger debate since you started making four cities happen? Starting with you, Yvonne, maybe.
Yeah, I might use my example of my PhD research that I started back then. It was on gentrification, and the term gentrification I learned through the Four Cities program. It was not such a phenomenon or theory already established while I did my diploma studies in geography. So first, Four Cities always helped to, let's say, push knowledge in a state of the art manner. So we've always been confronted with very recent developments in urban studies. And secondly, back then, you could tell we already kind of grasped that cities are changing. Every city has a unique DNA, but in a certain moment, if you really look analytically on processes, you realize, oh, wait a minute. Gentrification, like displacement of people from their residential areas, this happens not only in Paris, London, and New York. It also happens in Berlin and even in a city like Vienna, where you quote, where a social housing stock should prevent people from displacement. So this was my starting point to realize, well, cities are not museums. They are constantly changing. and they have similarities, but they also have discrepancies. And these similarities and discrepancies, this was also the core of the Four Cities program, to always compare with each other, to understand and come beyond ideographic or to achieve more generalizing ideas and theories on how cities work. And I would argue that over the years, it became much more complex. So nowadays, we speak about planetary urbanization, localization. So we have global processes, but we see the change in the local neighborhood. We do discuss post-growth theories, because we are aware that cities cannot grow, or also economies cannot grow as we accepted it in the last decades. So it became more complex. And I would argue, from my personal research perspective, that it's relational. Cities are not singular entities. Cities are connected to the periphery, to the global stage. It's all in relation, and we really need to develop a very comprehensive skill set to understand these relations. And this includes much more disciplines, even more than we have in our Four Cities program. So that is also the reason why we expanded our network with other stakeholders. We might speak about this a bit later. And it includes much more skills in terms of transdisciplinarity, how to speak to each other, how to understand each other. And this, I would say, this is the cherry bottom on everything, how to really take action to change something.
Yes, I agree with Yvonne. I mean, what I would add is that I think a lot of the processes in cities which are going on are not so fundamentally different from when we started out. I think the scale and the scope of things changed a lot. And there are some themes or some issues which have become more important than they used to be, or at least people are more aware of it, people and policymakers and so on. And the big issue there, of course, is everything which has to do with the relationship between nature and the city and the climate. I think that's one big thing. The other one, all cities have known an incredible increase in migration. I mean, there are peaks and ups and downs, and depending on policy and so on. But I think, you know, I mean, I was trained already, you know, in a view on the city is basically the container where migration is coming in and going out and so on. But that process just intensified, and also the characteristics of it changed a bit. I think recently, if you look a little bit, geopolitics came in much stronger. You know, cities also become, you know, they become items of war, to be conquered, to be destroyed. This, of course, again, depends a little bit from where you are and how do you look on the world, because that it's also a big change. I think that when we started out and have a look at academics and the interests in Europe and the United States at that moment, I mean, there is much more of an awareness of the situatedness of you know, of that research, of these academics, and so on and so forth. So I think on the one hand side, cities have changed. Mentioning all these things I just said, just a few of them, but I think also the way we look at them, we analyze them, has also shifted. I think for me, these are some important things.
Yeah, and they became also somehow, let's say, strategic entities to fulfill or to reach sustainability targets or other targets, right? With the SDGs and the UN Habitat New Urban Agenda. I mean, they had a paper before on that as well, but it's gained significant relevance for these debates, right?
Absolutely. I think it was very much needed also to think about the leverage points and also the impact that specific entities might have or not. And I think to narrow it down and just to agree on the fact that cities can be change makers, this was really crucial. I would now argue that it became pretty mainstream. So this is a narrative that is quite well accepted. And now the next step is probably to really think not only about what did cities actually achieve during the last 10, 15 years as a change maker, and what role do they play in all these transformations that Steph just mentioned, like the socio-ecological transformation. Cities are not so sustainable if you open up the algorithm and calculate what people really consume that is produced somewhere else outside of city. So you know these debates. So I think we are now in this phase of becoming more critical about the role of cities and also about the long trajectories that are inherent in changes. And we are now in a moment of our society and humanity where we need actual change, and better fast than slow. So it's really a moment now that is really interesting to be part of this debate and really do something for the better, of course.
Do you think for cities still reflects this kind of ambition with the program? How did it develop over the years? How did it bring in these new perspectives?
Well, I think, but it's a personal opinion about this. I mean, there was a very strong narrative, at least in Brussels when we started out, which was around this kind of, you know, the city versus the nation state. And like this idea that for a very long time, sciences, politics, popular thinking was based on a view on the world which is about countries. You're a member of the country. Your society is your identity is defined by being a Belgian or a German or, you know. And then as a kind of antidote to this, to, you know, that actually the world doesn't function only like this. It also functions to cities, which are organized in networks, which have another geography, etc., etc. And I think at the beginning, it was a very, very strong plea that, in a way, these cities are a solution to a lot of problems. So there was a kind of outspoken political thing. Now, that also depended a little bit on which city we're talking about. I mean, in the sense, which of the four cities and the teaching crew there, because our colleagues in Copenhagen, for example, which are from the humanities, they do have a different approach on this. I mean, their politicization is different in a way. And I think over the years, and especially the last years, it became more academic, the program, I think. Also because it was a request at a certain point by the students. And I would not say that like the critical edge or so is out of it, but it's not, I mean, it leaves a bit more possibility to have a wider debate, also political debate within in the program. I don't know if you agree with this, Ivona, but I think for me, this is, I mean, from Brussels and the position I'm in, this is a little bit the shift which it has had.
Yeah, I would agree. Do you have a better insight on that? Of course. But what I would add is that with the program, we didn't expect that in the beginning, but we are somehow an actor that is changing the system, if you want to say, from within. So the ecosystem of cities and how cities work, we contribute with a teaching program. It's a graduate program. But it's an educational contribution. So we educate the next generations. We can speak about girls here already. How we think about cities and also how we influence the narratives on debates related to urbanistic topics. And I think here we always had, and I think now we actually can see the impact we have with the Four Cities program. If we just look at the local working or labor market, I can only speak now for the Austrian local labor market. Whenever we speak to people who look for new employees, they approach us and they ask us, do you have graduate students who could be interested in this? Because we really appreciate this broad scope and knowledge base of Four Cities students. This is really something that makes it special being a graduate from the Four Cities program. compared to any other national program at a university. So if you really look for people who have this general knowledge on what is going on, being not the nerd in the tiny little details, but being this generalistic person, understanding what relates to each other, I think that makes for cities still very unique.
Yes, I think that's true. We also see it. I mean, Brussels, most of our PhD students are actually full city students. You know, and they have to go to a competition to actually get a scholarship. And yeah, there, it's actually that adaptability, you know, to be quite wide. Yes. The other day I had, well, the other day, it's a while ago, I had a talk with the former Baumeister of Antwerp. Baumeister, you would kind of translate as a kind of urban facilitator. You know, it's an important person because he has to get consulted by the municipality before big urbanistic projects are implemented. And he saw this, he told me, he said, yes, they actually engaged somebody from four cities. And the only reason why we did this was because we looked at that CV and we thought, well, what a strange thing, you know, what kind of studies is that? And then they invited her yes, through the interview then, they thought, well, this is exactly what we needed. And I think from the start we had, you know, in mind to, well, to create or to enhance the possibility of having people which can be intermediaries, so which can you know, bring together, are not afraid to deal with things which they don't know into detail, but quickly make up their thing. I mean, I myself had to learn it. I remember it. So I told you at the beginning about this Polis program. It was the very first time I was involved in this kind of international things. And I remember that I was afraid to go to the very first meeting because I was sitting with architecture and cultural scientists and you know, I didn't know anything about it. But then, yes, in a way, after a while, you understood, okay, if somebody talks about something you don't understand, you just can ask it, you know, and he gives you a quick resume and just absorb very quickly, you know, a lot of information. And then you also feel how strongly you form to a particular discipline, which is not as such as a problem. But I think, you know, if you can combine a strong disciplinary background on the one hand side with this kind of, you know, broader adaptive kind of approach, that's really a strong thing. By the way, I mean, preparing this, I I went through the questionnaires we sent out to alumni. And if you just look at, you know, the answers to the question, what were the main skills you get from four cities? So adaptability is one, holistic perspective, work well with others, international experience, critical thinking, inter and transdisciplinary approach. So I think in that sense, we succeeded quite well in, you know, in transmitting these kind of things.
Absolutely. And I think you were with the program, you were kind of ahead of the time. I mean, even when you said that you kind of paved the way also to this understanding of this, at least I interpreted as such, of transdisciplinarity on urban matters. When I graduated in 2011, the month that followed when I was looking for a job, I was quite, yeah, disappointed. Not that disappointed, but you know, I received a couple of rejections from jobs because they couldn't grasp what that is. They didn't know. They wanted to have an architect, they wanted to have a sociologist or something in between, but they couldn't, you know, grasp why there is somebody with this interesting background, but maybe it's a bit too edgy and we don't fall for that yet. We want to have this very specific competence on subject matter. And I was actually pretty lucky how I got the job. I mean, it's not the same job, but I'm still kind of working for that. By I was just applying at the Austrian Institute of Technology for a job I was absolutely not qualified for. It was a kind of research, it was kind of portfolio management for the mobility department. So I just, you know, I just applied on my, but I got lucky because my still kind of colleague boss led this mobility department for a couple of months because they had an offer. And she was building up this research innovation program called JPI Europe on a European scale. And it took a couple of months, but eventually I did not get the portfolio job, which I was absolutely not qualified for. But I started this job to, contribute to building up a European research innovation program, which is extremely fascinating and interesting. And that was exactly why I was hired and why I kind of was well placed to contribute to this work, was because of this broad generalist perspective and background that for cities let me just bring in a personal story here. But you must have like 400 to 500 alumni until now. And Yvonne, you already said you bounce into four cities everywhere. I have the same experience when you have a coffee at the conference or so and start talking to somebody. And then it's happens regularly that you find out that this person did the same program you did. But Steph, do you have some details on the statistics or backgrounds of the people?
Yeah, well, not in a systematic way, because we're going to prepare this for the big end party, which will be in September 2025.
I like that you already prepared a big party.
2 years. We speak about this already.
It has to be two years we think about this already.
This is going to be a blast.
Now it's announced. So we literally have students from all over the world, but there are fewer from large parts of Africa. We had discussions also with student representatives who told us, yeah, how comes, you know, why aren't there more? But then literally, I think I didn't check if there, you know, how many countries are missing in the whole list, but that goes always. Yeah.
Yvonne, in the beginning, you already said four cities gave you some sleepless nights in the beginning. I mean, you set up a program where there's a group of people traveling through Europe. What could possibly go wrong, right? And you have a lot of field visits and so on. People going to be lost late and so on. Do you want to share some moments which gave you the sleepless nights or some strange or funny moments which you experienced throughout the years?
So I think sleepless night occurred when there was some personal emotional connection. So some were stuck close to a border because of visa issues or whatsoever, or having a really bad landlord who pushed out people from their apartments or asked for additional money, something like this. So then then there's a very blurry line between I'm the professional coordinator at University of Vienna, and I'm also a human being. So on that point, but there are also so many funny moments. So there is a common saying that we have not only an academic delay of 15 minutes when we start teaching with four city students, it might be a four cities 15 minutes, so which usually is a 30 minute or 45 minute delay.
My theory is that if there would be no waiting time in four cities, it would be actually a 1 year master.
Yeah, that's a very, I would agree. And this is, of course, especially challenging when you're, as you just mentioned, on the go during excursions or field trips, where you're also supposed to meet other people who take their time to meet you. And then you're there with five people, but actually you announced 43 people. I'm exaggerating, but this is sometimes where you are in between. That's my personal reputation. Please show up in time. And also, so all of this, but, you know, what never happens with four city students is a quiet minute or quiet 5 minutes. I've always got to know four city students as eagerly curious, interested in the topics, very reflective, also very knowledgeable in sharing their knowledge. So when we talk with other people outside of the program, with stakeholders, with city administrators, with NGOs, practitioners, everybody is so trained in sharing where they come from, what background they have, and what the, what makes them special, that is always a learning situation for the other part as well. And I can just say I love you so much for that, for cities graduates, because this is really, really pleasant to have during meetings, site visits, whatsoever. So this is really the rewarding part. And maybe just as a little anecdote, what was really a surprise a few months ago when a colleague at the city administration at the city of Vienna got retired, he published a book on everything he did in urban development over the last decades. His name is Volkmar Palmer. Shout out here. He might listen to this podcast. And when he presented this book in front of his colleagues and boss, the head of department, so it was a really, really nice celebration. I think he opened the book or he mentioned it. And there was a group picture by four city students. Must be 2010, 2011. When we did a so-called living lab in the southern part of the city, working with Volkmar on questions they had from city administration back then when they thought about how to develop this area of the city. And we did the lab with the students. It went so la-la because expectations from the student side were also different. Just to share, students expect that their suggestions are implemented right away. I'm telling you now the story. So we had this lab in 2010, 2011, and 13 years later, this neighborhood is in the development process. So it cannot be a right away implementation of ideas. But it was such a nice moment to open this book, and I still have it here. It's a really nice coffee book. You open it and there's a group picture by the four cities who gave the initial ideas for all the strategic planning that happened.
That's amazing. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I also heard just a side story. This week I met somebody from another university and they did a field work in a certain city. And also their students got very fed up that it doesn't happen right now and they need a permit to try something out in the city. So the students called the city administration and said, we need this permit now. And of course, that was not so perceived so well. But Steph, what is your take on this? What is a funny or strange or moment in Four Cities?
Come to that in a moment. But I fully subscribe what Ivana says, just said, it's very rewarding to actually, I mean, I'm not teaching anymore, but when I was teaching, I'm still doing, you know, the excursion when we start in Brussels, the Crossing Brussels excursion. And I'm actually right now looking here at several pictures, group pictures of Four Cities students, which hang here. It's a very interested group. It's very rare that you have a student who's not interested. I mean, you can be bored because it's a topic, but in general, all of the students are extremely interested. They're bright. They ask questions. So it's really nice if you go and visit places. The feedback was always afterwards, wow, what a group, you know, they really challenged me here. You know, I just wanted to say a few words about what we're doing. And then they asked the questions, why are you doing this? You know, and what about this? And we know this example somewhere else and they do it differently. Why do you do it like this? And so it's actually, it's quite nice. So yeah, it's a privilege. Honestly, it's a privilege to teach, you know, because now as a program is to an end, I think, especially for those who teach, they start to realize, okay, you know, we're losing a really interesting public. And even, I mean, we got similar programs at the VB right now, but it still is different because it also has this intensity. Having these four cities makes it really intense. You know, you switch every time cities for the students intense, but also for the staff. And we'll meet up in every city once a year, not just to meet, but, you know, to have a board meeting, to listen to you guys, how you're doing with your thesis. You have to present. And then, you know, we are free. We are free out of all the burdens of our university because we are there either in Copenhagen or Vienna. You know, we have a long weekend. We can really concentrate on four cities. This is really an experience It's very hard to mimic. Eh? I'm trying to mimic this in Brussels right now with colleagues which are in Brussels all the time, etc. It's just impossible to do. So that's one. And the other thing, I think also the strength of really have an interdisciplinary kind of approach, and students actually become really people with knowledge which actually can discuss with you at the same kind of level, because they just can tell you about the city. I mean, as a student from Kiev, right, he or she can, you know, talk about the city. And so that gives kind of an input without having done all the courses, etc., which is really, really, I mean, really rewarding. It's and then there are lots of, you know, really funny situations and so on. But I mean, you know, this is for the graduation ceremony and the pictures at the end.
To remember. You keep it exciting.
Yeah. But the awkward thing was, I mean, for me at least, was this whole, I mean, the day COVID forced us to stay inside, postpone one intake, try to run the program remotely, knowing that students were locked literally in a room. We had students in Madrid, which were not allowed out of their apartment for months. So that was really, I mean, apart from the experience you go through yourself, you had at the same time this big group of people, which whom you had to deal also. So that for me was really, that really marked my, I mean, my recent history. It was, I mean, everybody got well through it, but it left traces. It's,
yeah. And you both described this in this experience you had with it as a very personal one.
Yeah, you feel responsible
for. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel responsible. I think that's it also gives you a lot of stress, to be honest. I mean, maybe it has to do with my character too, but it gives you an awful lot of stress. It really is. And you know, all things which can go wrong and so on. And that's really, but then, yeah, it works. When it works out fine, you know, it's also, as I said, it's very rewarding.
You also mentioned that there's people from all over the place joining For Cities, or have been part of For Cities from all over the world. Do you think that a program like For Cities, which is so travel intense, is still something we can afford doing in the 2020s?
That's a good question.
Well, if you would say no, yes, I think we would not have learned what happened in the last decade. Probably not. I think we had also the privilege to experiment a lot. I think connecting to the insights of by staff on the COVID and pandemic phase, we also realized that some parts can really be done hybrid or online. And also this traveling across four cities, it's a privilege also in financial means. And to be honest, without the second Erasmus Mundus funding that we successfully achieved, we could not have run this program. It's so cost intensive. If we would go back to the initial phase from the first four cohorts, no university would agree to be part of it, because it's not only resource intensive in terms of staff costs, but staff costs.
Also
staff costs. That is a separate cost item on the balance sheet.
But traveling costs and also our time. Maybe as a critical note, I lost a lot of time with the Four Cities program as a researcher. So if I would go for this ideal career, just saying, indexing and high level publishing, I made my choice to run Four Cities and to be part of it. No hard feelings, but it's a choice, and you compensate in a way. And so I think nowadays the travel issue, me personally, I'd say we would need to design it in a more smart way. Smart meaning cost efficient, but also organizational wise. Yeah, you cannot imagine how much organization it needs to organize meetings, to have all the students on board, blah blah blah. So I think no, it would not be the same design in my opinion. The four cities: Brussels, Vienna, Madrid, Copenhagen, sorry, Copenhagen, Madrid. Those four cities, they came up as, you know, being these brave, bold, but also mad people in the beginning, building up this program. Now, with a critical reflection on everything we know about post-colonial approaches and so on and so forth, probably it would also not be this Eurocentric program anymore. All these kind of...
Yes. I think you're right, Ivana. I mean, share a lot of these things. There's just one little anecdote I want to tell you is, so I was, you know, I was in a city and went to a museum, and it was mid of the day. So we had we were eating, and by accident, the rector, so the head of our university, you know, sees me, knows me, comes to stay next to me, and how are you doing, etc. And this was just after COVID. I was doing well, and I mentioned Four Cities. Said, "Oh yeah, you guys are traveling around all the time, but now we can do it all easily. We actually can have lots of these international programs, just using Zoom and the like." And I just turned to her. I said, "Look, Zoom only works if you really, really know each other, but you can't set up a program, and it's very difficult to replace it, you know, by just having it online. I mean, we saw it with students. We had lots of meetings with all these little things, and it's very hard. So if you have to run a program like this, you have to move anyway," because I thought your question was actually on ecological costs also. In a way you could say, well, Four Cities, which is about Europe, in a way, it's a better choice because you're not too far and you can easily, I mean, everybody would take trains, etc., if they would be affordable or if they would run.
Just saying, Germany is.
then you could do it. But I mean, it's true. It's a traveling circus, which has an impact, that for sure. And you have to think about it.
Because I also think that this with Four Cities comes not only the teaching and getting to know the program points, which are organized by the universities, but I think a huge part is just what happens around it. Yeah. You know, the experience you have from living in a city, and I can tell you so many different anecdotes from, you know, from living in Copenhagen in winter, and how you learn to do stuff like dumpster diving or something like that you would never think of when you're in Austria home, or you know. Yeah. And these experiences which give you a complete different view on the world, which I think is not to be underestimated with Four Cities, at least for me. And I think you can do courses online maybe, but this whole experience around it and the visits, and you know, I think that is very difficult to, I think this is what made Four Cities, at least for me, a program which is life-changing.
I mean, maybe this might be a repetition, but I think it's important to keep that in mind. The last point Ivana said, universities have changed a lot. Universities, I think, have become less of a free space, not only intellectual, but also organizational. So that really makes it very hard. And, you know, even if you would like to set up a program like that these days, I mean, you're just, you know, you're punished because you don't publish enough, because you don't do what gives you a high, you know, reward from the university. And that's really something I think universities should think about it. Because if you want to have good education, because I think Four Cities really is good education, and I also think the education comes with a certain limit of numbers of students which you put together. And I think we really reached our limit there with Four Cities. We went from small groups of 15, something like this, to 40 students right now in a group. But above that, you can't do it, I think. It really becomes hard. I mean, we see it through experience, what the kind of thing is. And of course, the more students you can serve, the cheaper it gets per student, blah, blah, blah. You know, the kind of economics behind it are quite important.
I'm quite surprised that you said that the university becomes less of a free space to do these kind of things.
Unfortunately. Yes.
Can you elaborate a bit on that?
My thing would always be, take David Harvey, as he is present everywhere in the program. He's probably very unlikely he would make a career. And lots of others. I mean, all my inspiring professors I had at my own university, they would not even get a job in their early career.
Also, universities professionalize in a way that they are, they really have knowledgeable management bodies. So, and this is what you can also see, that everything, when we come back to the Four Cities program, related to mobility or joint degrees, is now nowadays much more structured, built on much more knowledge how to do it. I mean, again, Four Cities was forerunner model, and we did many mistakes, and we learned through the mistakes. But now you have a certain professional level, and this is what you experience also nowadays at the universities, that you do not have the free space to experiment and make mistakes. Yeah. You have to be successful.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
All right. With Four Cities coming to an end next year, what is next for you personally? Starting with you, Yvonne.
A lot. So we are preparing the phase, so to say, after Four Cities as a consortium. So as you already heard, there's going to be a big party, but also other serious stuff that we are planning to document the legacy of Four Cities. We also think about, not only think, but we also come into practice in terms of new curricula. So education on urban studies is key, of course. As an urban geographer, it would be a pity to not being able to do that. So we are right now at University of Vienna starting the process for the development of new curricula, and urban studies is included in that. So spoiler, try to include as much of our learnings from the Four Cities program in a really, really well grounded and thorough program in the future here at the geography department. So interdisciplinary approaches, transdisciplinarity are going to be key components here. And then from a personal perspective, I mean, researching, writing, publishing, dissemination, talking about what we know. So this brings me to one of my, let's say, biggest areas of where I would like to develop even more skills, to really translate what we are doing. I think universities and researchers, in their role as knowledge keepers, we really need to become knowledge providers. It's now time to really explain what we do, what we know, and how we can together, as you just mentioned, Johannes, co-create a better future, not only in cities, but in regions, in our more than human world. This is, I think, something that strives me as a personal goal for the future, and I'm very optimistic in terms of what we can do. But times are different compared to 15 years ago, also at a global and broader scale. So we really need to be cautious how we change future of our world. And I hope that I can make a useful, impactful contribution to that.
Beautiful. How about you, Steph?
Well, first of all, we have to close Four Cities, which is a lot of work.
Yeah.
So that probably will take my next 2 years. And for me, it's not so much a drastic change in the sense that other things have started, because as I mentioned before, we have a spin-off of Four Cities, which is a kind of local residential program, but with mainly international students in, which is also a two-year program, Master Urban Studies. And I'm responsible for organizing this this thing and doing the follow-up of it. So that takes most of my time. A new thing I'm involved in and which has to be developed further, and these are also the things I like the most, is, you know, setting up new things and you know, trying out things and so on. I'm happy with doing kind of follow-up and routine things, but it has to be, you know, in elaborated with new things. So this is this collaboration I just mentioned before in the former barracks, which comes under the name of USET, USET, if you Google it, you'll find it, which is this cooperation for UBULB with urban studies research units from both universities, which also have, an open lab, so a kind of social fab lab connected to it, which really does the outreach. And really having this concentrated at one building is an interesting thing. So, and I'm already involved together with a colleague on the one hand, you know, make sure this project contents-wise also goes in a certain direction, but then just make it happen. I mean, because all these things, it's like for cities, there's a lot of, you know, nitty-gritty background work to be done. Otherwise, things just don't happen. You know, good idea is not enough. You need, you know, enough people who are willing to actually do some of the less pleasant but very rewarding work.
Thank you. Before we close, thank you so much for being part of the Cities Reimagined podcast. I enjoyed talking to you a lot, and it was so good to see you, Steph, again. And congratulations for setting up this program for over 15 years, you know, which came out of this very strong drive which you described, and it showed that how you push the boundaries also on the debate on what is urban education. I find throughout Europe, I think you really left a mark there, and ultimately also changed many people's life, who certainly mine, who joined Four Cities. Thank you for that. And we latest meet at, Yvonne, we will meet for a coffee for sure before that, but we latest meet for the closing event next year, September.
Yes.
September 25.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Johannes. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for today. I hope you liked the show. And if you were part of Four Cities, maybe we meet at the big closing party in Brussels in September. If you like the content, consider subscribing to Cities Reimagined on your favorite podcasting platform. That would be great. Or follow us on Instagram. Like the show or rate the show and tell everybody about it. Also, please feel free to send me an email at johannes@anthropocene.city. That's it for today. Till next time. Bye.